The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, we're going to give quite a bit of time to what's going on with Brian Stanley and Sinn Féin. It can be a little bit complicated, so we're going to take it slowly as to what has gone on. But Daniel O'Connell, editor of the Business Post, is here with me in studio. And as I said, we'll hear from Sinn Féin and from Fine Gael about it all after 5 o'clock. Daniel, thanks very much for joining us. So, Brian Stanley put out a statement late on Saturday evening, or he spoke to Laois today, and that started going around Saturday evening. Just for those who may not be fully aware of what is going on, just try and explain it simply for us, please.
Okay, so Brian Stanley is a veteran Sinn Féin TD, member of the party for over 40 years. Such was his standing within the party, he was their nominee and has been their chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. So traditionally in Irish politics, the lead opposition party gets the chairmanship of the only standing committee in the Dáil, the PAC, and Brian Stanley has been that chair.
So a lot of people have been familiar for example, for overseeing the RT investigation.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, he would have been to the fore on many sort of spending discrepancies, you know, in terms of the National Children's Hospital elsewhere. So he's a senior, prominent member of Sinn Féin.
Sorry, he would have been one of the most prominent people in the lifetime of this Dáil. If you were to pick out five or six of the most prominent Sinn Féin people most likely to be in this radio studio or elsewhere, Brian Stanley would be one of those people.
Afforded to him by the position he held as chair of the PAC, because he would have been, as you say, would have been on top of responding to many current issues. He put out a statement via his local news organisation Laois today on Saturday evening, essentially announcing his resignation from the Sinn Féin party. And in relation, and it sort of spoke about this process that had been going on and this dispute between himself and the party.
And an unnamed allegation that had been made against him.
Yeah.
The details of which have still not been made public.
That allegation has not come to light, or the nature of that allegation. This morning we had a very lengthy interview from the Sinn Féin president, Mary Lou MacDonald, on RT Radio, in which she was asked very forensically, I thought, by Mary Wilson about all of this. And so Mary Lou MacDonald, as of this morning, said, in early August, this complaint or allegation came to light and has then been countered by a counter-allegation. Now, logic would dictate that counter-allegation has to have come from either Brian Stanley or someone acting on his behalf. Now, Brian Stanley has released a statement today questioning Mary Lou's chronology of this. He says this complaint first emerged in late July. And then, obviously, a process, an internal process, was kicked off.
Just to explain, because we want to be very careful with the facts in relation to this. She said that the information or the complaint was made on the 2nd of August. He says not only was it received by Sinn Féin on the 26th of July and that he has written proof of this, but he also says that he made her aware in person on the 29th of July about it. Now, she seems to be saying, or she said in this interview and also in an interview she did on News Talk, that this was the first, she knew of it, she didn't ask him for details. Which is remarkable that they wouldn't have actually discussed what the allegation was about.
So her line this morning essentially was, in both interviews, was, you know, because an internal party process had kicked off, she had to remain at arm's length from it. You know, so internal party nominees were essentially put in place, an external barrister. It turns out that this barrister is actually a party member, is a Sinn Féin member. But essentially this process at arm's length from the leadership was essentially initiated and underway. Over several weeks, interviews were done. An initial or a preliminary set of findings were reached and circulated then to the interested parties. In around the 11th of September, we now know that that's around the point where Brian Stanley's counter-allegation was certainly made. And at that point, according to Brian Stanley's statement today, he urged the party to refer to An Garda Síochána Síochána. One would take it that he felt confident that there would be nothing found and he would be vindicated. But ultimately, that did not happen. So what you've had is this rolling out of this process up until last weekend. Ultimately, Mary Lou MacDonald, according to her timeline, was only brought into the loop fully last Saturday at a point where Brian Stanley's resignation was essentially kind of being exercised or was out in the public.
Okay, because it seems that, according to the information we've been given, that there was a preliminary report given to both Brian Stanley and to Sinn Féin by these people who were doing the investigation, which made very serious findings against Brian Stanley, which raises its own set of questions as to then why was it that Brian Stanley was still chairing a public accounts meeting last Thursday? When was it that Sinn Féin decided this matter should be handed on to an Garda Síochána, because it appears from what Mary Lou MacDonald has said that the decision to do that was made on the back of Brian Stanley tendering his resignation to Sinn Féin.
And that raises a number of questions, because at what point did this process ultimately take on even the potential of being a criminal matter? Was it only in the last few days when when responses were taken back to this independent group of people, why did Brian Stanley's departure from Sinn Féin or resignation from Sinn Féin facilitate the referral to an Garda Síochána, which only happened to her own admission on Sunday?
Yesterday. Let me bring in Michael Clifford, special correspondent of the Irish Examiner, on this. The fact that this has now been sent on to an Garda Síochána, does this create a problem for us in trying to find out what the allegation was and what we can say about it? But does it also provide Sinn Féin with a means of saying, well, we can't discuss this in any great detail because it's now a matter for the Gardaí?
Well, I think that's very true, Matt. I mean, there's a couple of issues that arise about that. First of all, there's absolutely nothing to stop anybody discussing it while it's being investigated by the Gardaí, unless and until such time as somebody within the Gardaí and subsequently the DPP's office decide that a criminal charge may be merited. So prior to that, and there's no suggestion whatsoever that it would get anywhere near that at any stage, but irrespective of that, there's nothing to stop anyone talking about it. But a major question arises as to why it would be referred to the Gardaí after Brian Stanley resigned. If, for example, there was any suggestion in an allegation made to a political party, no more than one being made to Today FM or the Irish Examiner or whom, wherever, about an employee of any sort, if there was any such allegation that had a hint about the possibility of a crime possibly having been committed in any guise, the obvious thing to do, the imperative, is to hand it to the Gardaí at that point. And quite obviously, this complaint was initially made either late July or early August, depending on who's correct in that, and nothing was done until this point, which immediately would give rise to a suspicion that it was handed to the Gardaí as something of a deflection, because this was such a bombshell, I think it's fair to say, story that arose with somebody such long-standing as Brian Stanley resigning as he did on Saturday night.
Is it also fair to ask Michael Clifford if they would have taken this action if they weren't already caught up in major controversy in relation to what had happened with their former press spokesman north of the border and the effective sacking from the party of two individuals who gave references for that man to the British Heart Foundation, that the controversy that has been ongoing about this may perhaps have led them to take the actions that they have over the last few days?
Well, that's the thing that arises, Matt, is was this effectively a panic reaction? That because they have found themselves in a very unfortunate situation in terms of any political reputation at the moment, was it a panic reaction to attempt to get this off the books, away from the public square, effectively, by referring it to the Gardaí? And, you know, when you combine the various things that have happened in the last few weeks, what really overshadows the whole thing is a question as to whether, in that element of their operation, Sinn Féin has advanced to the status of what you might call a normal political party. I mean, let's remember their origins are very different from that of most. Well, they're not different from most, but in terms of modern times, they're different in that they were formed 1970. The first half of their existence was, you know, to a greater or lesser extent, a political arm of an armed force, the Provisional IRA. That all ended in 1998. The culture that would have been in the party prior to that is one whereby they considered themselves to be outside the law. They considered various institutions to be against them, including the media, for instance, not to mention the obvious institutions of state. And one wonders whether totally they have shed that element of their culture, as one might expect when they become fully democratic, despite the fact that that was all 26 years ago? And that's the kind of question, unfortunately, that arises. And it should be said that in the interim, their ranks have been swelled by huge numbers of people whose sole focus is that it would be similar to other people in other political parties, as in their idea of bettering society in one form or another. But that cultural element, you'd have to ask, does it still remain? And is that now manifesting itself with the kind of issues that have arisen with this and the other things that have happened in recent weeks?
One listener says, if it was such a kangaroo court as Brian Stanley has alleged, then why was he and his legal representation happy to partake in the internal investigation by Sinn Féin and not just go to the Gardaí himself? I understand, Daniel McConnell, that it was the use of the phrase kangaroo court on Saturday evening which particularly incensed many of the senior people in Sinn Féin.
It does, for obvious reasons. Kangaroo court was a phrase that came to prominence during the whole Maria Cahill controversy and the treatment or maltreatment of her by people within the Republican family, as they like to call themselves, or the Republican community. So that, like, that was a loaded charge for Brian Stanley to use in the context of an internal Sinn Féin dispute, and that's one that really irked an awful lot of senior people in Sinn Féin, without question.
There are some people also getting in touch saying, what is this about and why does it matter? This is a TD who has had a row with his political party over something that we don't even know what it's about. So why is it a big deal?
Well, it's not a normal situation to have a political party refer to a matter about one of its most senior colleagues, Tuan Garda Síochána, just after that person has left the party too. It comes on the hot step of the controversy, as we've talked about, in Northern Ireland, where a former press officer was given a reference by two party members who have subsequently been exited from the party and have been condemned very strongly by the party leadership. And thirdly, it comes on foot of Patricia Ryan, first-time TD's resignation from the party. Again, you're someone very critical of how she's been handled by the party and basically been accused of being kind of censored or herself and her supporters are being kind of vetted before a meeting with the party leadership. It goes to the culture.
I'm sorry, wasn't there also a suggestion as well? She alleged that there was to be a constituency meeting with leader Mary Lou MacDonald and there was instructions given as no tough questions for the leader.
Exactly. So there was a process of censorship going on. And all of this speaks to, what is Sinn Féin like if you're a party member, and what, like, do they encourage dissent? Now, I think I've spoken to you about this program. I mean, there is a kind of a two-tier Sinn Féin in operation within Leinster House. There's the haves and the have-nots. The have-nots are parked off in the basement, you know, away from kind of the more favoured sons and daughters who are up on the third or fourth floor in Leinster House. But I do think it just speaks to, I suppose, the question that has lingered for many years as Sinn Féin's fitness for office and whether or not, because this is a party that holds itself up as wanting to be not only a party in government but the lead party in the next government, and it raises questions about their fitness for that office.
Indeed, let's hear a little bit of Mary Lou MacDonald on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Let me repeat, we have procedures and rules within the party, and I am presuming that every organisation and every political party similarly has disciplinary standards, codes of ethics, and then procedures to adjudicate where a complaint is made. It's standard stuff. You have to act by your own rules. You have to do so methodically, forensically, to ensure that you can stand over the process itself, the protection of people's rights, and a proper inquiry into complaints that are made. That is what has happened here. Deputy Stanley preempted what was a deadline actually this morning of comments on from the two parties on the preliminary report. Therefore, the process comes to a halt without conclusion. That's okay. What's happened here.
Yeah.
I make no apology again either for the full, fair, firm application of party rules and standards on the one hand, and also in circumstances like this, and for an abundance of caution, making the referral that the party has made. I'm absolutely sure that we have done the right thing here. Okay.
I wonder, Michael Clifford, if there was anything in that document that Brian Stanley was due to come back and offer his comments on today, which highlighted the possibility that they would refer the matter on to Tuan Garda Síochána, because the question has to be asked, if he hadn't resigned as a member of the party, would they have reported him to Tuan Garda Síochána?
I think that's a central question, Matt, and I suspect the answer is no, but I don't know. Now, to be fair, you know, we have to look at this another way as well, and that is when an individual, and particularly a high-profile individual within a party, falls out with a party, there's going to be the spin war one way or the other. You mentioned Fine Gael earlier, and I noticed that Kate O'Connell yesterday, in saying she wasn't going to run for the party, referenced the issue over wasting public money. So, you know, you're going to have that. The problem is, as has happened with Sinn Féin, it's the type of things that have been thrown at them by people who are departing. And a lot of those things come back to the issue of very tight central control, hierarchical structure within which people are expected to follow the lead and not be given to any kind of internal dissent. And that is dissimilar in an awful lot of ways to the internal issues that arise in other parties. And again, as I said, it harks back to a model that perhaps suited them when they were in a totally different phase of their evolution, but is most definitely, it would seem, not suited to a modern, open political party. But it also references an element of a party that has expanded in size exponentially in recent years, and the problems that they're having as a result of that very quick expansion.
Okay, we'll be back to this topic after 5 o'clock. Michael Clifford, thank you. But just to finish with you, Daniel McConnell, Michael Clifford mentioned there Kate O'Connell, and there had been a lot of speculation that having fallen out of favour with Leo Varadkar, having lost her seat in the last general election, that she could make a comeback due to a friendship with Simon Harris. The speculation fuelled by her appearance at the Fine Gael Ard Fhéidh in photographs with Simon Harris. And now she's not running as a Fine Gael candidate, but she's going to run as an independent. What's going on?
So, she was featured very heavily on the front page of the Sunday Independent yesterday morning, where she basically said, I'm almost like I have become disillusioned with my former party, so on and so forth. My future stands as an independent. What we subsequently got from the party, they said they have selected Councillor James Gagan to run.
And Emma Blane.
And Emma Blane, who's she's a former colleague of mine in the Sunday Independent. But they went on to say that Kate O'Connell was informed last week that they would not be considering her as an addition on the ticket for Dublin Bay South. She had said, I don't want to be anybody's sweeper. This doesn't suit me. This arrangement doesn't suit me. So, but it is clear that, you know, having come in and being essentially, you know, having declared that the dark days of Fine Gael were over with the departure of Leo Varadkar, from her perspective, that, you know, clearly, you know, the organisation in Dublin Bay South or headquarters has said her face doesn't fit, and therefore she's not on the ticket for Fine Gael, and she is now standing as an independent. The question has to be asked, Matt. It's her intention to stand as an independent. Whether she actually does so when the election is called is the big question, because running and standing as an independent in a very, what we consider, blue of blue blood Fine Gael constituency.
And when Michael McDougall might also stand in that constituency.
One would wonder whether or not ultimately her name will be on the ballot paper.
Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, thank you. We're joined now by Pat Daly, who is the Sinn Féin Justice spokesperson. Pat, thank you very much for joining us. The first thing I want to ask you is, if Brian Stanley had not quit as a Sinn Féin TD on Saturday evening, would Sinn Féin have put the complaint to the Gardaí yesterday?
It's difficult to know, but I would say not, probably because the internal Sinn Féin disciplinary process, which was commenced by the complainant, had not reached its natural conclusion, in that the preliminary results or the preliminary findings had been put, given time for Brian and the original complainant to make any comments, and that those comments obviously were not received. So to answer your question, it would seem to me that they would have at least waited until the responses were filtered through from the complainant. And I understand that Brian had made a counter complaint, so that they would have given chance for both sides, I think, to make their complaint to finalise their opinions or views in relation to the preliminary findings.
Okay, the Irish Times reported today that that preliminary report found him to be guilty of serious misconduct. Mm. Did it also, that report, tell him that it was likely that the issue would then be referred to an Garda Síochána?
Well, in speaking to an Irish Times journalist yesterday, that's the only way that I have heard that it is going to be, that it was a finding of a gross misconduct. I'm not sure whether that is the case or not. It may very well be the case. Let's take it, for example, that it was the case, that that was the finding, we would have waited until the responses had been received from Brian. And let me say this, you know, Brian, I sat beside him for votes many long evenings over the last, 4 years or 3 years since we moved back up from the conference centre. And I always found him to be a good colleague and capable when he was dealing with the pack, and he had his own distinctive style. And, this obviously, I'd be much preferred to be on speaking about Sinn Féin policies and our motion disability services and what's wrong with the Killarney bypass, for example, rather than dealing with this whole issue. But we are where we are. And if that was the finding that was made, and I'm not saying that it was, that would have had to filter through and come to its natural conclusion.
Do you know the nature of the allegations that have been made against him?
Well, there are a lot of rumours going around. Most of them seem to be incorrect, but I have not seen a copy of either the complainant's statement or indeed of the counter allegation or complaint, which apparently was made by Brian. So I can't tell you, for example, what exactly is in the statement. But I did see, as Mary Lou MacDonald had said earlier on, she gave a general outline of the nature of the complaint, and I would, I'm not going to differentiate from that.
But if there was a belief that there may have been something that required Garda attention, why was that not done prior to yesterday?
Well, you see, the statements that had gone through, there was a due process obviously was going to be given if a complaint is made to you, whether it's in a workplace situation or in a party situation like this, and you are given the chance to respond, and then obviously when a counter complaint is put in, the other person, the original complainant, let's call them, is given a chance to respond. When Brian left the party then on Saturday evening, obviously that he's no longer a member of the party, so the party disciplinary processes decision was taken, come to an end, and the decision was then taken. And I think that Brian himself has welcomed the referral to an Garda Síochána, so that might give some sort of a clarity to the whole process once the cards conclude their investigations.
He's also alleged that he's been the victim of a kangaroo court. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm not sure what he means by a kangaroo court, but my understanding of it would be one of a peremptory nature that was dealt with very, very quickly. Clearly, that was not the case. He was, in his own statement that he gave to Leash Live, he said that he was legally represented, and it appears that since an initial complaint was made around the end of July, that he, aided by a solicitor and apparently a barrister, and his solicitor, and I think Mount Millick has issued a statement today, or issued Brian's statement, he was allowed to have legal representation at all times. So, respectfully to Brian, I believe myself that if you are allowed all of those processes, and you know he's free to comment in whatever way he wants, but if you are allowed 8 weeks actually 10 weeks to deal with all of that, that it's an inaccurate description.
You said there's lots of rumours going around, many of which you believe to be untrue, but how are we going to know what's true and untrue until we are told the details of the allegations? Is that not something that the public deserves to know, given that this man, even if he's no longer a TD for Sinn Féin, remains a sitting TD and may be looking for re-election in the forthcoming general election?
Well, I suppose 2 points there. One is Brian is free to publish his statement if he wants to, or his counter-allegation, but also you hit the nail on the head, really. A lot of this is closely related to, and Brian in his statement did say that he seems to be making a link between the forthcoming election and the opening of the nomination process, in that in his statement, which was released through his solicitor, he did say that the complaint was made on the date that the nomination process opened for the Laois Offaly constituency. So he is implying in that, in my view, that this was all part of an attempt maybe to stop him getting on the ticket by the complainant. I don't know whether that's the case or not. It's certainly something that Brian seems to be stating. And, you know, I think that Brian probably looked at if there was such a finding as a result of the case or the process, that he was unlikely to get on the ticket. And maybe that's why he moved late on Saturday night to resign from the party. And I think it's inextricably linked between the forthcoming election, the nomination process, the election convention, and the date for the election, which is probably going to be in the next 5 weeks.
We're joined also by Jennifer Carol McNeil, Fine Gael's Minister of State with responsibility for European Affairs and Defence. Jennifer, if similar allegations were made within Fine Gael, would the party not follow the type of processes and procedures that Mary Lou MacDonald has outlined to try and find out what had actually happened before deciding if it was necessary to alert the Gardaí and other authorities?
I think the first question is the question of the Gardaí or other authorities, not because Sinn Féin don't get to decide whether it's a matter for an Garda Síochána or not. The law does. And guess who understands that better than anyone else? Pa Daly, who's on your show right now, who is a criminal defence solicitor in Kerry for many years and the party's justice spokesperson. You don't go through, they went through a civil process for 4 months with lawyers involved, both for Brian Stanley and a party lawyer involved in chairing the process. The complainant hadn't made an allegation to An Garda Síochána. Brian Stanley hadn't made an allegation to An Garda Síochána. The lawyers hadn't identified an issue, and they are required to, because not only are the lawyers required to report to An Garda Síochána if they think there's something criminal, but so is Sinn Féin. So what all of this speaks to, as Pa just said to you there, I'm not sure if they would have gone to An Garda Síochána if Brian Stanley hadn't resigned. Just shows that he doesn't understand, although he does understand, and so I don't know why he's saying it, the role of An Garda Síochána in criminal matters. Earlier on Radio Kerry, he said, I'm not sure if there would have been any merit to it. I don't think that process will go anywhere. So my big question is, in addition to, if there had been any element, any suggestion of criminality, they should have referred it to An Garda Síochána before they conducted their own internal process. But if there is,
sorry, what if they only found out the necessary information during the internal process?
How is that credible? But if they didn't, how is that even credible? They've had this allegation, counter-allegation, lawyer-led processes, lawyers in the room all the way through, and then something happens just after Brian Stanley resigns and they decide to refer to An Garda Síochána. And it makes me wonder why did they not do it in the first instance if there was clearly something of a criminal nature? And if there wasn't something of a criminal nature that was obvious, why just do it yesterday? And to me, it smacks of they were trying to find a way out of tricky questions this week. They were trying to find a way of covering themselves this week because they knew the questions would come. But actually, referring matters to An Garda Síochána, child protection issues, which are absolutely live within Sinn Féin, are questions of mandatory reporting. And there's nobody who understands that better than Pa Daly.
I don't think there's anything in this particular case that's suggesting child protection.
No, you're right. Perhaps not, but there are so many others that are live at the moment. And this is the overall issue with Sinn Féin is they run their own rules. They run their own courts. That is the evidence from their own people. And Brian Stanley is now the 17th elected official to step down from Sinn Féin in the last 6 years because of hostile circumstances, a hostile, bullying, horrible environment. Whatever about that, that's for Sinn Féin and the people who are involved in Sinn Féin. What I'm concerned about is Sinn Féin's understanding of child protection generally. And let's not forget, last week we were out talking about Sinn Féin party who had given references that enabled an active paedophile to get a job that gave him access to children. There are other questions in relation to a senior Sinn Féin member who is inappropriately texting a 17-year-old. Did they follow mandatory reporting processes there? Did they contact any clubs, any sports clubs, any entities that person might have been in contact with? I don't care much about Sinn Féin's internal processes, but I do care about the law, and I care about An Garda Síochána, and I care about child protection. And Sinn Féin can talk to themselves all they like about their internal processes, but what Irish people care about is the law, and they care about An Garda Síochána. And Sinn Féin need to develop a basic understanding. And to hear Pat Daly come on your show and talk to the people of Ireland, knowing that he's an experienced criminal defence lawyer, and talking this nonsense to the people of Ireland, knowing full well that what he's saying isn't real, what it isn't correct.
Okay.
I think it's a huge insult to the Irish people, yet again, when the really serious issue is child protection, and if there are matters to go to An Garda Síochána, that okay. They go there first.
In fairness, I don't think it's 4 months this has been going on. It's more like 10, 11 weeks. But back to you, Pat Daly. Do you want to respond to Jennifer Carl McNeil?
I was waiting. I'm not going to make it a personal issue like Jennifer has made it. But,
are you a criminal law defence
lawyer? Sorry, no, Jennifer,
minister.
Please, I asked him to actually answer the question, please. You've had your say, let's hear Pat.
But it's good to hear that she's been listening carefully to Radio Kerry for the morning. The only person or the only people who are going to decide as to whether it is a criminal offence or not, of course, is An Garda Síochána or the DPP. And Jennifer has made a lot of
Sorry, Pat, I just have to clarify that.
There.
They will make a decision as to whether it should be processed for a decision in the courts as to whether it's a criminal defence. They won't make
correct.
The decision.
Correct. And Jennifer mentioned, was it 16 or 17 elected officials of Sinn Féin over the last number of years? And of course, that's the exact same number of Fine Gael TDs who have decided that they can't
after 40
be bothered
years.
Running in the forthcoming election. And she actually makes a case for the party rather than what Brian Stanley had been saying, in that she continually referred to the whole process being lawyer-led. You correctly stated, Matt, that this issue is not a child protection issue. And nobody has made that kind of allegation at all.
No, that's a different one.
Jennifer also dealt with, alluded to a complaint that was made to the PSNI, where, in fact, the PSNI complimented the party on the processes that were in place and how the party dealt with it. And I presume that's the case she's talking about in relation to a text message that was sent. So, you know, that's the way it is. There was a process which was, of course, around the 10-week mark. It was lawyer-led, as Jennifer has said. It had almost come to a conclusion, and it was an internal party disciplinary matter. And while it didn't quite conclude, there was a preliminary decision which
Sorry,
was taken,
Matt.
Which obviously was not to Brian Stanley's liking, and presumably having discussed it with his legal team, decided to resign from the party.
Okay, well, we know that. So very brief last word to you, Jennifer Carl McNeil.
It must be difficult for listeners to clarify which case is which, because, of course, there are two involving the PSNI and child protection issues. One now involving the Gardaí, which, if it was a criminal matter, should have been referred to the Gardaí immediately. And there are 17 people who have left elected people who have left Sinn Féin because of a hostile bullying environment. People have left Fine Gael having served the public for 40 years. So they're in no way equivocating. They're no way the same thing. But a PA, which is the Sinn Féin playbook, deflect, divert attention and talk process until the cows come home.
Okay, Jennifer Carl McNeil and PA Daly.
Protection.
Thank you very much for being with us. And just to clarify again, our understanding, although we don't have the full details as yet, but the issues in relation to Brian Stanley have nothing to do with child protection.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.